Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
Luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello. You're listening to Speaking of History Podcast, episode number 153, and I'm recording this on the evening of July 10th, 2008. My name is Eric Langhorst, and today's podcast is going to be an audio version of a presentation that I gave last week in San Antonio at the NEC conference. This particular presentation was done at the Microsoft booth on the exhibit floor. I did a pilot last year with 25 of my 8th grade American history students receiving a 4 gigabyte Zune, and we're currently looking at how the students use the Zunes. We're going to continue the pilot next year with another 25 students at South Valley Junior High. And so this short presentation is just kind of an overview of what the pilot looked like and what we found out as far as results. It is on the exhibit floor, so there's quite a bit of background noise, but I think that you can still hear most of the presentation. And there's also a video format of this presentation available, and I've embedded that on the blog. The blog is at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com, and that video is courtesy of Kyle Stevens. Kyle Stevens is a teacher down in Texas that's doing some amazing things with technology in his classroom, and he was nice enough to go ahead and record this and then put it on YouTube, and it's in two different sections, so if you want to watch it, there's a part one and a part two. So I'm not really sure which one might be better as far as audio quality. You can try both and see which one you like. But this is kind of a short presentation. It lasts about, I think it's at about 17 or 18 minutes or so. I do intend to, at some point this summer when I have time to really kind of sit down and reflect a little bit, talk about the pilot, and then go into a little bit of what we want to do next year with the pilot as well. But we did some really great things with the students. The Zune obviously has audio content, video content, and then also image content, which basically can be presentation slides, PowerPoint slides, things like that. So this is a short rendition of kind of how the pilot went. And once again, if you want to leave a comment, you can leave a comment on this particular blog post, or you can email me at speakingofhistory@gmail.com as well. So here we go. Here's the presentation from the exhibit floor at 2008 NEC in San Antonio, Zune in my classroom.
All right. Well, thanks for coming today. I'm going to talk a little bit about how I've used Zunes in my classroom over the last year. And I'm going to go through some practical applications of how I've used it in my 8th grade history classroom. And just give you the nuts and bolts of what's working, what students think, and what our experiences have been over the last about 5 or 6 months. I teach 8th grade American history in Liberty, Missouri. Liberty, Missouri is a suburb just outside of Kansas City. We're about 20 minutes away from downtown Kansas City. And I teach exclusively 8th grade during the day. I have 6 different sections of students. And what we did with our pilot was we used the pilot with one of those. So I'll kind of describe what it looked like in that one classroom. Can you guys all hear me? All right? Okay. Currently this year, I'm also serving as... This is working out. I'm also serving as Missouri Teacher of the Year, and I've been able to travel quite a bit. And it's been interesting that I can talk a little bit about what we're using with Zunes, but also other types of technology in our classroom. So this started, this isn't working very well. I started doing a podcast 3 years ago called Speaking of History, and I talk about history, education, and technology. And I use a program called Audacity, which is a free program that runs on any platform. And this is mainly for other teachers. So I started to think of ways that I could have my students use a podcast or some kind of MP3 file in their classroom. And so I started something 3 years ago called StudyCast. And all I do is basically sit down with a microphone and I talk about what I would talk with the student about as they prepare for a unit test. So if we have a test coming up about the American Revolution, for example, they have a study guide that they kind of follow that's a paper copy, but it's almost like I'm sitting at a table with them kind of reminding them maybe of a story that I told that might kind of click for them as they study. And I put it up on the school server, so it's linked to our classroom page. And students have a variety of ways that they can listen to it. they can listen to it at home on the website. Or if they don't have internet at home, I could also burn it to a CD for them and they could take the CD home. The problem that I had was it was hard to know if students always were getting that content, because most of my students have internet connection at home, but not all of them. And then some students might forget to ask me for the CD and things like that. So last year when I was at NAC in Atlanta, I stopped by the Microsoft booth, and I'm kind of a gadget junkie. I have a couple iPods and a couple MP3 players and a couple Zooms and stuff. And so I went up to Kathy Richardson and I said, hey, I would really love to use these in my classroom. Is there any way that you guys, you know, are thinking about possibly doing a pilot or anything like that? We would love to be guinea pigs for you and see what we could do in our classroom. So I talked to Kathy last year, and she was able to help us out by giving us 25 Zooms. And what I did was I picked one of my six classes to be the pilot. And of course, the class that I picked out, they were my favorite class, but they were only the selection because it was right after one of my planning periods, and I had a little bit of time if I needed to set something up or things like that. So we did this the second semester of last year. So we started this in January, and we ended our school year at the end of May, and we had a great parent night kickoff. Kathy actually flew in on her way to a conference and came in, and we talked to all the parents and talked about how they would be able to use this in school, what they were able to do with it at home, and the parents were probably as excited about the pilot as the students were. So we started this in January, and I had already been creating some content with audio, but the cool thing about the Zoom is that it has basically three different formats of media. Where's my classroom? It has three different formats of media, video, audio, and then the images. And so I'm going to describe a couple different ways that I've used each of these formats, because one of the things that I really try to stress in my classroom is everyone's not going to learn with the same learning style. I do a learning style inventory with my students, and I usually have about half kinesthetic, about a quarter auditory, and about a quarter are visual. So by using these different formats, I can reach a lot of different students at their optimum learning level. So for example, let's start with audio first. The StudyCast I've already described. The neat thing about the StudyCast was I could give it to my students without picking up any wires. One of the neat things about the Zooms is you can wirelessly beam somebody content. So for example, if I'm listening to the latest Carrie Underwood song, and I'm like, hey, you gotta listen to this, and you have a Zoom, I can beam it to you wirelessly, and you can listen to it up to three times for free. It doesn't charge anything. So my students can come up and say, hey, Mr. Langmarsh, can you give me the StudyCast? And I can beam it to them just as they're standing there at the desk. And in a matter of about 2 minutes, they walk away with the StudyCast. Now, if I beam it to them, they can only listen to it up to three times. But later on, I'm going to talk about how I can also give it to them where they can listen to it 1,000 times if they want. The podcast that I do called Speaking of History, if I'm somewhere, I might go to a museum or I might talk to somebody at a historic site. Later today, I'm going to go to the Alamo and do a little podcast in the Alamo. So when we talk about the Alamo next year in class, I've got that podcast from Speaking of History, and I can download it to all their Zooms, and then they can listen to my experience, or if I get to interview somebody at the Alamo, what that's like, so I can bring it into the classroom. Also, weekly lesson plans. I do stuff like an audio format, just talk about what's going on that week. I put it up on my website, and then my parents can listen to it in a matter of like, you know, 5 minutes and find out what's going on in class. And then the students also have something on their Zooms. Maybe they want to know, hey, I can't remember what day we have the test or what to do today. They can go back and look at it. So the audio one is probably the format that people think of the most. But the ones that really probably got the kids the most excited was the images. Now, initially when I thought of images, you know, I thought of family pictures and stuff like that. But all the stuff that I do in my classroom as far as notes are PowerPoint presentations. And as I'm sure most of you guys are aware, you can save a PowerPoint as an image collection. You just hit save as JPEG, and it creates a folder for you, and it's done in like 10 seconds. So what I was able to do with my notes was send them the notes both wirelessly or by plugging in the USB and dropping and dragging it onto their Zoom. So I literally had students last year. They came in and said, Mr. Langhorst, I missed class. You know, yesterday I was sick. Can I get the notes from yesterday? I have it on my Zoom. They pull the Zoom out of their pocket, and I beam it to them, and in a matter of 2 minutes, they walk away with the notes that we talked about in class. So that was a really neat application. I mean, they had the notes. They had all the notes for the entire unit on their Zoom when they went home. and they didn't have to worry about taking home, you know, an extra notebook or the textbook and things like that. Flashcards. This actually came from another teacher. About midway through the semester, my Spanish teacher in our building, she came to me and she said, hey, it's cool that you're doing all that stuff with the Zooms. I do PowerPoint flashcards for my Spanish students, and what I would like to have you do is put my flashcards on their Zoom. And so anybody that's doing anything with flashcards, you could also easily put it on a Zoom. And I can pass this around later. You can come up and talk to me. The notes that I do, I typically use about 40 size fonts, and they can easily see it on their Zoom. It's got a beautiful screen, and I mean, it comes out very, very clear. So one of the things we're gonna utilize next year a little bit more is other teachers from other subjects are gonna be able to just, you know, send me their content through the network or through an email, and I'm gonna pop it on the kids that are doing the Zoom pilot. Also, maps and paintings. Now, again, you might think, well, this is like a really small screen, to, you know, send a map of some kind. But I actually did this during our Civil War unit, and I sent them some maps that we were using for discussion. And on the Zoom, you can zoom in on stuff. And so even though it's a small screen, you can zoom all around the picture and bring it up pretty good. And the students said they actually enjoyed being able to have that map and, you know, have it with their notes and that kind of stuff. And then also we do some analysis of some historical paintings. For example, Washington crossing the Delaware. We talk about some of the inaccuracies and that kind of stuff. And so when we did that assignment, I give them the painting, and then for homework, they have that with them. They can look at it and analyze it the next day. Video looks really good on the Zoom. And we use a Microsoft product called PhotoStory 3, which is a free download. And it allows you to take digital stills and then make that into a video. So one of the assignments that I have my students do is they create an Abraham Lincoln election ad from 1860 using that program. And it has to be 1 minute in length. And we talk about the election, you know, what would Lincoln emphasize in the election. But when they got done this year, I took all of their videos. We had 8 different groups of students. I put all of those videos on their Zooms. Then the homework assignment was to go and look at everybody else's video, and then we critiqued it the next day. So really what I'm doing with the Zoom in many ways is giving them content to go home and look at, whether it's, you know, a picture, or they're listening to content that I've given them as a podcast, but they have their homework with them when they take the Zoom home. Another product or another thing that we use in class a lot is CNN Student News. It's a free resource from CNN. It's a 10-minute news program that's updated every day, and it's made specifically for students. We watch it in class when we can, but if we can't, they can subscribe to it as a podcast. It's a video podcast, and they can go home and watch it if I want them to watch it and then discuss it the next day in class. So the two ways, the two ways that I gave them content was beaming and then the USB. So the first one is beaming, and that is simply a matter of having two Zooms, and you have to be, I think, within about like 30 feet of each other or so. And I can beam them content that's audio, that's images, or that's a video podcast. So we don't have to hook up any wires. And, you know, like I said before, you know, one student could probe the other student and say, I missed the notes. They can beam it to each other. So that was a pretty cool, cool way to send stuff. The other way that we gave content was you can hook the Zoom up with a USB cord to the computer. And you can drag and drop large amounts of content. And the neat thing about this interface compared to, for example, like iTunes, is you can put as many Zooms on a laptop as you want. You register as a guest. So you can't do that on the other platform. So some days, like if my students were doing something, I wanted to give them a lot of content, like maybe 2 or 3 sections of notes and maybe a video podcast. All you do is just use the USB plug in. It says guest, you click on it, and then you drag and drop, just like you would any other file, onto the Zoom folder, and then they walk away with the content. And it took me about 2 minutes to put 3 or 4 days of notes and a couple of video podcasts on one Zoom. I put in the next one, send it out. So it was super, super easy to use. Another way that you can do this that I haven't really completely optimized yet is you can wirelessly update everything as well. So you can use basically just the Wi-Fi from your Zoom. If I have my laptop set up, you don't have to hook up any wires. You just say the wire, you just click on the wireless feature for updates, and it updates without plugging anything in. So there's a couple of features that students really like, to be able to beam back and forth. And the Zune also has a radio, which the students really enjoyed too. So if they were walking and stuff, it has an FM radio included already with it, and they could listen to the radio. This is an image, that's one of the examples of my notes. It's kind of small. Sorry. They told me that was a hot spot, so I was like, but you can see, he's looking at the notes there. I think that one's actually like, I think it's General Lee from the Civil War. But he can see all the content because it's about 40 font size. So it's very easy to see. So these are some of the quotes that our students had at the end of the pilot. And we actually had kind of one complaint at the end of the pilot. And that was that they had to give the Zunes back at the end of the pilot because it was, we're reusing them. So we let them have their own content on here. So they can download, you know, music, and they shared music and stuff. Occasionally, I did pick them up and just do a spot check. So they knew that at any time I could spot check their Zune, and if it has something that is inappropriate, you know, they would lose their Zune. So that was a huge deterrent. Here's some other quotes from students. But it's pretty cool to see students walking around with content all the time. I mean, even if you have a one-to-one laptop initiative, your students aren't going to have laptops at their fingertips all the time, but our 8th graders have their MP3 player, whatever format it is, at their fingertips all the time. Our school has a policy that you can have MP3 players in the classroom if the teacher allows it. So it's just like gum. You know, if a teacher doesn't want to allow gum in the classroom, they say, no gum. But what our school has created in the last 3 years is an environment where students, when they have time, can listen to their MP3 players. Our math teachers, for example, when they get done lecturing and they start working on their math assignment, they allow them to listen to their music. So, you know, they might be listening to, you know, modern day pop culture music or whatever, but they're working on their math assignment. And what our math teachers have found is that specifically in that environment, they're not bugging the person next to them. And it's a huge parrot as well. If you're not doing your work and you get your MP3 listening privilege taken away, I mean, that's a huge thing. So there's a couple more quotes from kids. But we had one student that took a family trip during the semester to New York, and they were on the plane and they were coming back, and she had her Zune out, and the stewardess came by and was like, oh wow, that's really cool, you know, what are you listening to? And she was like, I'm listening to my history teacher's notes from yesterday because I missed class. And she was like, oh, that's still really cool. And she's like, I know, but it's not really super cool to say you're listening to your history teacher's notes and stuff. But they listen to it in the car, on the bus, doing exercise. Some of my kids listen to stuff when they work out. And just like adults, they're looking for ways to multitask as well. So, you know, what's the difference if a kid is on the treadmill and they're listening to an NPR report that I want them to listen to for class, or if they're listening to a modern day song? So my students really enjoyed the pilot. It took a little bit of time. We had to kind of train them on charging them. Sometimes they wouldn't come to school charged, and we kind of worked out the issues as far as, you know, make sure you plug it in at night and that kind of stuff. But I saw that as a pretty positive problem because I meant they were using it quite a bit. So if anybody has any questions, oh, I'm sorry, one last thing. I talked a little bit about the digital homeroom stuff. I'm going to really try and bring in other teachers. In my particular school, we'll have another pilot, so we'll have 25 of my students with the Zooms. And I've got other teachers already that say, hey, I want to send you a PowerPoint occasionally, or I want to send you an audio file. We have Spanish teachers that are doing Spanish podcasts to help their students. We've got a science teacher that listens to, I think it's called the 60-Second Science Podcast. They listen to that every once in a while. So they're going to be giving me content, and just like a digital homeroom, I'm going to drop and drag it onto them. And eventually, when we're in an environment where everybody has a Zoom, every individual teacher could do it. But I think it's a pretty powerful statement that other teachers are coming to me saying, hey, I want to help, you know, I want my content to be on those Zooms. Can you help me do that? So if anybody has any questions, I wanted to leave time for anybody to ask questions. And if you want to get a hold of me, this is my contact information. I do the podcast at Speaking of History. If you Google Speaking of History, you'll see the podcast. It's a blog and a podcast. I talk about the Zune project and other projects we do in the classroom. I'm on Twitter if you want to follow what I'm doing on Twitter. My login for Twitter is elanghorst. And then also, if you want to call me and ask me about the project on Skype, my login is historypodcaster. So, does anybody have any questions about with RSS feeds? Yeah, you could create a podcast literally for any of your content, and then they can subscribe as a podcast. So, well, it depends a little bit on, like, for example, if you're in an environment that has one-to-one and the kids, you know, plug in their Zooms to that device, you could automatically just, when they log in, they could download it. Yeah. Sherry is actually going to present at 3 o'clock, I believe, today. They've done a large pilot in New Mexico, and she's done more with the wireless side than I have. In fact, I'm picking her brain all the time about how to do the wireless side, but it's a possibility. With my small number, the 25 kids, it's just easier a lot of times for me just to plug, and it took like a minute to download a ton of content. So I did it that way. But I'm going to try and play with the wireless a little bit more this year. Oh, yes. This, if you've been sitting through the presentation, some of you guys probably opened this up. This is a flash drive bracelet. And it has the case study from both New Mexico school and my school. So if you go home, you can go ahead and check out the case studies. And there recently was a big article that hit the AP, mostly on the pilot in New Mexico. So if you Google, you know, if you go to a search engine and you go Zoom education and stuff, there's a whole bunch of stories that have been out in the last couple weeks about the Zoom pilots that we're doing. So. Okay. Yes.
Compatible with Apple?
It's not compatible with Apple as a hardware, but anything that's on iTunes, you can, since it's an MP3 file, I mean...
We're at a one-to-one, but it's all Mac.
Oh, it's all Mac? It's not it.
Huh?
Anything else? All right. I'll be wandering around. If you guys have any questions, go ahead, man.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. Bye.